know how to pray and got to unlock the door to your house, to your car. Over now, I know how to pray. And whatever you do, you got to get to 210 Mark Street. Amen. These three nights, amen, praise God, are going to be days, dates and nights you're going to remember for the rest of your life. You, amen. The 25th, 26th, 27th, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they will, amen, stay with you for the rest of your life. Why? Because this is, amen, going to be your time of miracles. Amen. When I put the key in your hand, God's going to start unlocking doors, unlocking doors. Amen. Testimonies are going to come through. Testimonies are going to take place. But you got to make up in your mind. Amen. Praise God. If you don't know how to get there, you ask somebody. Amen. Praise God. The Word of Faith Revival Center, 210 Mark Street. That's the Word of Faith Revival Center, 210 Mark Street. The Word of Faith Revival Center, 210 Mark Street, Monroe, Louisiana, where Sister Dottie Rivers is the pastor. Her church will never be the same because God's going to overflow that place. This is God's business, amen, and don't mess with me when I'm dealing in God's business. These folk came to me, amen, a husband and a wife, elderly in age, couldn't, amen, didn't have 30 years to pay for a mortgage, amen, but God turned it loose in 24 hours. God gave them just what they asked for. I'm not going to say another word, but I put a key in the hand. This is the key I'm going to put in your hand, baby. Your hand, my brother. Let's go into the service. My God. Last night, yes. You all were here last night, and we were ministering, and I put something in your hand. What did I put in your hand?
A key.
I put a key in your, what kind of key?
House key.
My house.
A key to your what?
House.
All right, amen. Today, what did God do?
Gave us a house.
Gave you what?
A three-bedroom house.
Oh, glory. Somebody clap their hands.
Debt free.
He what? Wait a minute.
Debt free.
He gave you a three-bedroom house.
Debt free.
Debt free.
Debt free.
Paid for.
Paid for.
Three-bedroom.
Three-bedroom.
Paid for.
Paid for.
You owe nothing on it?
Nothing on it.
Overnight.
Overnight.
Put the key in your hand last night, and what did God do?
Gave me a house, three-bedroom house. Three.
Do you have a mortgage with it?
No mortgage.
Oh, clear and free.
Clear and free.
Somebody clap their hand. Go on back to your seat. Go ahead on and praise God. Somebody clap their hand. Praise the name of God. You can tell when something is real. You can tell when God is in the midst. Amen. Whatever you do. Amen. 25th, 27th, 28th, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're going to be dates to remember. This Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Amen. Starting, praise God, this Wednesday. Starting this Wednesday. This Wednesday. Amen. Praise God. This Wednesday night, God's going to move. Amen. Praise God. Listen to me closely. Amen. I got to put the key in your hand. But, amen, if you're looking for God to move, if you want me to hold one for you, reserve one for you, amen, if you want to make sure you get your key, you better call 318-266-8262. 318-266-8262. I know how to pray, and I know how to believe God for your miracle. Why should you suffer when others are being healed? Why should you die before your time? Why should you go through when you just don't have to? Whatever you do, I'm going to have that key waiting on you. God's going to unlock a door when I put the miracle golden key into your hands. Testimonies are going to start taking place in the next 24 hours. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it. You're going to know about it.
K-A-A-Y-T 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 1. We're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse 1 through verse 11. Amen. When you have that, say, I have the word.
I'm
ready to receive it. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass withered, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use, just for a thought or a title tag for this message, the wisdom of the wilderness. Amen. We have to understand that we get wisdom when we go through the wilderness. Amen. If I was to reference the children of Israel while in the wilderness, they learned a whole lot about God that they would not have known except that they had a wilderness experience. Many times we go through our wilderness experiences, but what are we learning? Are we learning anything from the wilderness? The children of Israel, I keep referencing back because that is the first place that we in the Bible see a wilderness and people in the wilderness, where they actually had to trust God because there were no resources in the wilderness. Notice I said there were no resources in the wilderness, but there was a source in the wilderness. When your resources run out, you must go to the source. Now, who is the source? The source is God. As we know, the Bible says that as they walked in the wilderness for 40 years, their shoes did not get worn out. Their clothes did not get too small. They did not have to plant a garden because God gave them manna from heaven. They did not have to dig a well because he gave them water from a rock. So what I'm saying here is that there's some wisdom that you gain in the wilderness that you will need in order to live in the promise. Amen. You must first learn to trust God before you can have the things that God has in store for you. Amen. Amen. And so there is wisdom in the wilderness. When we look at those experiences in the wilderness, you need to know that God makes wilderness just for man to be able to pass through them. God does not make the wilderness for us to stay in it. Even in our spiritual wilderness, even when we feel like there is no growth, that we are barren, that there is no word, that we don't see nothing, don't hear nothing, ain't nothing going our way, we need to know that it won't be like that always. Because God designed this just so I could pass through it, not stay in it. Amen. Anybody passed through a wilderness lately? Amen. We all at some point go through our wilderness. Amen. But I want to admonish you not to become a wilderness wanderer. What do you mean, preacher, about being a wilderness wanderer? When those children of Israel came out of the wilderness, they wandered around for 40 years, and many of them died in the wilderness when God intended for them and wanted them to go and possess the land. They did not have enough faith and trust in God to go 3 days' journey across the Jordan into the land of promise. You know what was really pitiful about this is that they knew that God had promised them the land. They knew what the land had in it, had giant grapes and pomegranates and a land flowing with milk and honey. They knew this, but they chose to stay in the wilderness. See, you can choose the wilderness for yourself, or you can choose to pass through and gain the wisdom that you need to gain through the wilderness. Amen. When we go through the wilderness, God wants us to be triumphant. He wants us to be victorious in our trials when we go through the wilderness. Amen. When you look at this in the book or the gospel according to St. Matthew, it is I want to paint the picture and show you how Jesus, the Son of God, amen, came down as a mere man. And he emptied himself, or the Greek word that is kenosis, meaning the emptying of your power, the emptying of his privilege to be deity. And he emptied it just so that he can walk here as a man to show us as a perfect example of what we should do and how we should handle ourselves even in the wilderness. Amen. And so when we look at this situation and we look at him, he walked as a man and he attributed all of his ability to God and to the Holy Spirit being present in his life. Amen. He is often addressed in this text as we get ready to talk about it as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, although he was the Son of God. Amen. And so when we look at the gospel according to Matthew here is writing to prove a point. He's writing to Jewish readers. He's writing to people who are of the country of Israel to try to get them to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, up until this point, we find that Jesus has come to John, and John recognizes who he was. John baptized unto what? Repentance. And Jesus shows up on the scene, and John tells him that you don't need this baptism because John knows that Jesus is perfect. He knows that Jesus has not committed any sin, and so therefore he tells Jesus, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. I wish I had somebody. He's telling the people around. He says, there's one that's coming who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. And he said, he said, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe because he's just that clean. He's just that perfect. He is the Son of God. Amen. And so when he began to recognize and when he began to see Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. There's no way that the sin would be able to be taken away. No way that Israel could even get mercy unless they sacrifice a perfect lamb. Amen. A lamb without blemish. And so here it was, Jesus shows up as the lamb without blemish, and John recognizes him as the lamb that God sent to die for the sin of the world. Amen. And so Jesus tells John, don't worry about it, John. Let it be so for right now, because I'm coming here as a mere man, as an example to show everybody that you still have to follow the order in which God has set up. Amen. Oh yeah, Jesus said, I didn't come to disrupt this thing. I didn't come to change what you were doing, but I came to show you that I can submit even to this and still be who I am. See, some of us, we don't think that we can submit and be who we are supposed to be. We don't want to submit a lot of times. And let me tell you, we can say that we are submissive, but you're not submissive until there's a conflict in what you believe, a conflict in what you want to do, and you decide, you know what, I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to submit to it. In other words, when we didn't really want to be saved because we loved the sin that we were in, there was a conflict. There was a war going on in my members. Even though I liked what I was doing, I liked to drink, I liked to get high, I like to do whatever you were doing and whatever I was doing, we like to do it, and our flesh loved it, but there was a conflict. And finally I said, look, I come out with my hands up, I surrender to the Holy Ghost. He arrested me and he put me in the army of the Lord. So that's true submission. Submission costs you something. It costs you to give up something, your ideal, your way of life. And so when we submit to God, the Bible tells us to submit to God and what? Resist the devil and he will flee from us. Many of us have the devil right in our face because we are not fleeing. We are not submitting. Amen. He's not fleeing because submitting. Amen. We have to learn to submit to God. And when we submit to God, then the devil will realize that you mean business. The devil, look, he knows that you're so weak. He knows that we are so weak at times in our flesh that when he tempts us with something, he knows that's exactly what he's going to get us with. All that power they had on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, they had all that power. But here it is, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and your power is gone because he put the right thing in front of you. Do I have a witness here? So, but look, let me show you something, and I'm going to get out of your way here. I want you to see, here it is in chapter 4 now, after Jesus has been baptized, and the Bible says that that the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove, and the Spirit of God, it lighted on him and stayed on him. And then God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now, all of this stuff happened, all of this power, this is actually the first time in the New Testament where you see God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in the same place at the same time. Amen? When we talk about that, we a lot of times mention the Trinity, which is not actually a biblical word, but they mention it to describe God in all ways that he was existing or in all ways that he manifested himself, because he is the Son, God the Son. He is the Son. He is the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Spirit in sanctification. Come on and say amen here. So he is one. It's not 1 + 1 + 1. He does not equal 3. He's 1 × 1 × 1. God is a God of multiplicity, so that all equals 1. Come on and say hallelujah. He is one God. Amen. And so when we look at this, the Bible says in verse 1, "And then Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness." Now, I know sometimes we think that this stuff that we go through, this wilderness experience, can't be of God, because there's no resources in the wilderness. This can't be of God because it's cold in the wilderness. It can't be of God because there's all types of stuff happening in the wilderness that would not happen to us if we was in the place of promise, if we were in our Garden of Eden, if we were in the spot for the moment where the Spirit of God was and where heaven was an open door and I pray and things happen. But in the wilderness, you can pray, won't nothing move, won't nothing happen. You still need God to do it. Why are you in the wilderness? Do I have any witnesses here? We have to understand that the Bible says that after Jesus had a fellowship with the Father and was full of the Holy Ghost, after he was confirmed as the Son of God, after he obeyed and was baptized, he was still led in the wilderness. Now, how is that? We got to understand something. It was God's doing, it was God's will, and it was God's Spirit that led him into the wilderness. Now, we would have rebuked the wilderness. We would have said, "The devil is a lie. I'm not going there. The devil is a lie. I ain't going to experience that." We rebuke stuff that God sometimes sends our way. Do you know that God, he'll send the trial? Do you know that God allowed tribulation sometime? Why does he send the trial? Because the trying of our faith worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and then it gives us a hope that maketh us not ashamed. In other words, God wants to show us that he will not disappoint us if we trust him in the midst of the trial. You got to understand something. He sent tribulation because God knows that it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. We've been in the devil's kingdom. We've been out in the world. And so I must go through some stuff to push me into a place in the kingdom that I belong. I wish I had somebody here. And so God allows this stuff to happen, allows this stuff to go on in our life. And he does this, and he assigns this. He orders this for our life, but we rebuke it and we pray about it. We ask the church to pray us out of the wilderness. We ask the preacher to lay hands on us till we come out of the wilderness. We want people to help us out of the wilderness. Come see about me in the wilderness. But the wilderness is a wilderness. Don't nobody want to be there. Don't nobody want to stay there. Don't nobody want to spend the night there. So I may have many days there, but guess what? I might be all by myself. So why do I get mad with folks when I'm in the wilderness? Why do I get mad when people don't want to come in the wilderness with me? Because this is my trial. This is my situation. This is what God ordered for me. This is what God has me at the moment. And so I'm not going to be crying about who's not here with me, but I'm going to say, Lord, as long as you with me, as long as I got King Jesus, as long as he's on my side, as long as he's there, then I'll be all right. Jesus did this. He went to the wilderness, and the Bible said to be tempted. Notice that. It says to be tempted. Now, who goes to be tempted? We tell people, oh, you better watch it, because that temptation, you better stay out of that. To be tempted. Amen? And he went to be tempted. And the tempting that he got was the same type tempting. If you notice, and we're going to get into it in a minute, it's the same type of tempting that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. He was tempted in the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. He was tempted in those three ways. If a man is going to fall, or a woman, whatever you want to call it. I know when I say man, I'm talking about human. If a human being is going to fall, he's going to fall through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah. And so Jesus was tempted in those areas. And so now the thing about this is that when he got there, the Bible says that he went to be tempted of the devil. This was the sole purpose of going to the this so that he can be tempted or tried by the enemy. Come on and say amen. And you know, God has confidence in all of us to a point that he says, I know what I put in them, and they ought to be able to withstand this temptation. They ought to be able to overcome this stuff. Come on and say amen. Verse 2 says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. Amen. We got to see something here. The devil, he went to be tempted, but the devil didn't show up on the first day, because he just came out of revival. He just came from church. And the devil didn't show up on the first day, but he fasted for 40 days. The devil waited until he knew that Jesus was at his weakest moment. He knew that that flesh was ready. You know how it is. If you're hungry, grab a Snickers. Because if you're hungry, you're going to act up. If you're hungry, you're going to do some stuff you don't want to do. You're going to say something. You know, you got to apologize some stuff when you're hungry for some stuff you said if you were hungry. After you eat, you got to say, you know, boy, I overreacted. I shouldn't have said all that. I shouldn't have done all that. You know how it is. I've been there. They even say, man, hunt better when he's hungry, because he'll kill something then. Amen. We got to understand, when you're hungry, it do something to you. Amen. Your flesh will act up. You know, you can't even sleep with your stomach growling. Come on and say amen. So Jesus was in the wilderness. His stomach is growling. He's hungry. Do you think he's sleeping comfortably? Oh, come on and say amen here. We can't even do a two-day fast. But Jesus did 40 days. We on the first day. We talking about, oh, Lord. The clock moving too slow. I rebuke the clock. Come on, and look, we got that food already. You know, you got ready what you're going to eat as soon as you come off the fast. You ain't thinking about what you're supposed to be thinking about while you're fasting. You're not thinking about how this is helping me spiritually. You're not thinking about how this is getting my flesh under control to be able to overcome some other things. You're not thinking about that. But Jesus, here he was for 40 days. He fasted. And you know what? You know what? The devil waited till he got to day 40. And then he shows up. See, Jesus knew that the devil would show up, but the devil waited till day 40. Satan does not want you at your strongest point. And notice something else. He tests you at your weakest point, right? And look, the thing about it is when you look at what he tested Jesus with, he didn't test Jesus on something that he was weak in. He tested Jesus on the strongest point that Jesus had. Because the first thing he began to say, look at this. He says in verse number 3, he says, when the tempter came unto him, he said, and if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Why does he want to attack you at what you know for sure to begin with? It's because he know if I can get you, if I can make you shake on that, yeah. the rest of it. Amen. The rest of it is not going to matter. Because he know that Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. But here it is. Now you're hungry. And if you're the Son of God, because we heard John say, now behold the Lamb. We heard the Spirit of God descended upon you. We heard the voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son. Now, Jesus, I want to know if you really believe that yourself. If you was the Son of God, couldn't you turn these stones into bread? If you was the Son of God, couldn't you do what you wanted to do? If you're the Son of God, God spoke something into existence. So if you're the Son of God, couldn't you do what God did? And see, the devil will begin to tempt you on the things that you already know of. He began to talk to Jesus about that. And you know, the one thing that I admire about when Jesus didn't listen to this, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus said that I don't need bread for food. I need God's word for food. I don't need bread to get strength. I need God's word to give me strength. I don't need bread so that it can satisfy me, my hunger, but I need God's word to satisfy my hunger. Or do I have anybody here? Why are you in the wilderness? Why fasting? Why you're going through? You don't need somebody to bring you bread. You don't need God to do some trick or miracle. What you need is a word from the Lord. Something that's going to actually hold you down. Something that's actually going to give you strength. Something that's actually going to feed your spirit to make you stronger when you come out of the wilderness. Tell me, how did you feel when you come out the wilderness? Oh my God, look at this. The Bible says that he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus began to talk to him even in the temptation. The tempter talked to him, but even in the temptation, Jesus said, he tells him, man shall not live by bread alone. What Jesus was saying was, I don't want just a bread ministry. I don't want just a ministry that's going to meet my hunger need. I don't want just a ministry. Come on and say, man, that just gives me a one day blessing. Because sometimes we can give up in one day something. We can give up for something in one day that will affect us for the many days ahead. Jesus said, I don't want to give up and just take and turn this stone into bread just to have a bread ministry and people notice me just to be the bread maker, the bread winner. Amen. People come to me just to get some bread because I can turn stone into bread. Now, Jesus could have got sidetracked and he would have been walking around seeing people hungry. This is my ministry, just to turn stone into bread. He could see people hungry and say, here you go, poof, there's some bread, poof, there's some bread. And we would not have gotten salvation because he would have been trying to live forever, trying to turn stuff into bread. Mm-hmm. We get hung up, listen to this, we get hung up in ministry on one thing. And if that one thing, if you don't let me do that one thing, then me and you got a problem. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. All right, let me leave that alone. I don't, and the thing about it is that if say for instance you are able to pray and somebody get healed, and now all you talk about is healing and everything everybody else talk about, you don't want to hear it because all you focused on is hearing. You put down the people who talk about deliverance. You put down the people who talk about salvation because, oh, that ain't nothing. They ministry, that's salvation ministry. Nah, you need to get into a higher ministry. Who said it was higher? Come on and say amen here. Amen. And so now, but then it's going to come a day when you're going to get sick. And what if God does not heal you? You prayed for others, now heal yourself. Oh, if you be the Son of God, you got to know how to focus when you're in the wilderness. Lord have mercy. So he says that in verse 5, and then the devil taking him up to a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, as it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee or concerning thee. And he said, they'll bear you up lest your foot dash against a stone. Here he is tempting Jesus to jump off a high place. He's tempting Jesus to just dive. Come on and say amen. Sometimes the enemy will look, and this is something. Now, God had Jesus go to the wilderness, but Satan takes him out and puts him in a high place. Now, that's what it says. See, we got to be careful who we let take us out of the wilderness. nation, we come. Look. Let me read it because you might not believe me. Then the devil taketh him up. That's what it says, verse 5. Into the holy city. The devil took him. All right. Okay. Y'all don't believe me. Into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Took him to church. Got him out of the wilderness. Took him to church. Y'all help me now. Did you see this before today?